Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. This episode is being put out right before Christmas. So if you are going to visit your family, whatever you're doing, even if you're not going to visit your family, I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas and a very blessed time with your loved ones, and that it's just everything that you want it to be. I think Christmas is like, as you get older, Christmas is so interesting because I freaking love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday. It's my favorite season. Like I'm one of those girlies that put my tree up and my decorations up in November, not because I want to forget about Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving too, but I kind of think of it as a season, and I get upset if I can only celebrate such a magical, wonderful, loving, jolly season for 1 month. That's just sad. Like, we all know once January hits, it's kind of like January, February, and then maybe March are kind of like the worst months of the year where it's just like blah. Like, there's holidays are over, but it's not spring yet. It's like just winter, and like nothing fun and exciting is happening. So if I can extend my holiday season to beyond just 1 month, I'm going to do that. I'm also the girl that I'm going to leave my decorations up until mid, maybe the third week of January, because January, in my opinion, is my least favorite month. I think the month sucks, and I want to bring the Christmas festive cheer into the new year. Okay. So it's just, it is interesting though, as an adult, because it's like what used to make me so excited about Christmas, it still makes me excited. Like, I love, Drew and I went and looked at Christmas lights twice. We got hot chocolate. Like, it's fun, but it just doesn't hit as deep as it did when we were kids, you know? And I think that makes me more excited to have kids, because I know I will get to see like the twinkle in their eyes about Christmas, and it'll just make it even more like that childlike Christmas spirit again, which I'm excited for. But today I want to talk about, which might seem like a weird topic to talk about right before Christmas, but I want to talk about my story with alcohol and my relationship to alcohol. The reason I want to talk about it today is because I know a lot of you are going home to family, and if you're a listener of mine, you probably relate to me in the fact that you may not want to drink as much as you used to, or maybe you're sober now, or you're not a huge party girl anymore, whether you were once before or you never were. I feel like if you're listening to this, you probably aren't much now, because that's my community, right? That's who I am. I'm not posting about like drinking and getting drunk and clubbing and vaping and all of that. Like, I'm not really into that scene anymore. But some of you may be just making that transition now, and going home for the holidays may be something that is a little bit worrisome to you, because you're about to go to all these holiday parties where there's going to be alcohol and drinking, and you're going to be around family members that might be like, why aren't you drinking? Or friends that are like, why aren't you drinking? So I wanted to kind of give you my story with alcohol, and then end this episode with some pointers of just friendly, like big sister less advice on how to navigate that if you do want to stop drinking as much and you're feeling a little like shameful of it, or just scared to do it, or like nervous, or you don't want to like miss out on something. So I'll give you some of my big sister less advice at the end. And I feel like I should make that a segment, big sister less advice. I am a big sister. I am the oldest sibling of three. I should make that a total, like, its own segment, you know? I want to give a quick shout out to one of our show sponsors, Clear Stem Skincare. You've probably seen me posting a lot about this. I have been using Clear Stem for years. I actually have a highlight on my Instagram page back from, I think it was 2021, using all Clear Stem products. So I have been using them for a couple of years before they became a sponsor of me and the show. And this is like when they reached out and they were like, we want to partner with you. I was so excited because I love their products and I've been using them for years. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is a dream brand to be able to partner with, because I know the products. I love the products. They work. And I'm here to tell you about them. So if you are somebody that is looking for a lower toxin skincare line, Clear Stem
falls into that category. They are low/non-toxic for their skincare, and they have a little bit of body care as well in their line. So you don't have to worry about the ingredients in it. And that's one thing that I've always been like, I've really tried to not put hormone disrupting ingredients on my body anymore because the research is quite scary. I'm not going to get into all the research, but it's quite scary about what a lot of our beauty products have in them that and how they impact our hormones, our fertility, and even put us in certain cancer risks. So I was like, I want some non-toxic skincare that is actually going to work that I don't have to worry about. So I started using ClearSim a couple of years ago. The other really cool thing, and this is where non-toxic skincare gets tricky because a lot of other non-toxic skincare brands, they will use certain ingredients that aren't toxic, but they are pore cloggers. And I have very large pores. I have oily skin and I'm very acne prone. So it was really like, honestly, it was like pulling teeth to find a non-toxic skincare brand that didn't have this laundry list of ingredients that clogged your pores. And before I even started using ClearSim, they actually have a resource on their website where you can actually copy and paste ingredients from other products you use into their site. And it will tell you which ingredients in there are known to clog your pores, which then causes more breakouts and more oily skin and larger pores and more visible pores. So I had been using that research well before I even started using ClearSim, but that's something that you could definitely go check out your products on that part of their website. And then on top of that, their whole mission is anti-acne and anti-aging. So it's clean ingredients. They actually work, but they also fight acne and wrinkles and help with collagen production. They use stem cells. They use different oils that are really helpful for nourishing your skin. Something I struggled with for a long time was using way too many active ingredients and not enough just helping my skin barrier to, you know, strengthen the skin barrier and just be healthier. And I think I was causing a lot of my own breakouts because I was just breaking down my skin barrier and causing more irritation from trying to kill things off or dry things out so that it would get better. Once I started using their serums, and I love their HydraGlow stem cell moisturizer, my skin just has a glowy sense to it. I've actually gotten several DMs lately about how glowy my skin has been looking. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. The best compliment ever. And it's my favorite skincare brand ever. And if you want to try it, you can use code Leslie and it gets you 15% off. So I will link them in the show notes for you to check out their website and see if there's any products that you want to try. You can always message me to see which products I highly recommend. If you're going to try anything at all on their website, let it be the HydraGlow Stem Cell Moisturizer. It's my favorite product on their entire site, but I also love pretty much everything on there. So I hope that you love it and I hope that you try it out. So let's get into it. I actually started drinking alcohol at a very young age. I was only 14, maybe 15. I think it was 14 years old though. I was a freshman in high school when I was introduced to alcohol. I had several of my best friends in high school, they had older siblings that were like juniors or seniors when we were freshmen. So we had access to these parties and access to alcohol and people getting us alcohol. I know I just said that I am the oldest sibling. I do have an older half sister and like she would get me alcohol. So I had access to alcohol at a very young age. And, I was also like on varsity sports. So I hung out with a lot of the older people versus just hanging out with like my freshman friends, you know? So I started drinking very young. Friends in college and people that I've met later in life, it's kind of funny because people in college, they are like, your life in high school was so crazy. It's crazier than like any of our college experience. And then friends that I've met now in Texas, they're like, who were you in college? Like, that's not who you are. And it's just funny, from like high school to college, college to post-college to Texas, I've grown so much in every period of my life that everybody I meet, wherever I go, when I share stories of like the last chapter of my life, people are like, what? That was you? I can't even see you being like that. So which is kind of funny. But anyways, I was the girl that I was always looking for a party. I wanted to drink every single weekend
during high school. And so even if it was just like tailgating for a football game or a hockey game, a basketball game, any game, or high school game, I was drunk at. I was drunk on school premises. I was really drunk at them, to be honest with you. I was the girl that was finishing a fifth of vodka to myself. Like, looking back at this now, it was really funny in the moment, but looking back at it now, it's like, it makes me kind of sad because I was so young. Like, thinking now about 14 and 15 years old, I gasp. Like, I think of my niece who is 15 years old now, and I'm like, how, if she was drunk right now, like, that makes, she's such a baby to me. Like, that makes me sad to think about that. That was me at that young of an age getting blackout drunk. But it was kind of a problem. Like, I was known as the party girl. I was known as the drinker. And like, when we would go to bonfires or parties, like, I would fill up one entire water bottle with vodka, and I'd have my Diet Pepsi, and I would just drink that throughout the course of the night until I finished the 16-ounce water bottle of vodka. Like, and that's, I would do that every single time that I went out. I had my own fifth, and I was not, I never drank like the wine coolers or like the hard lemonades or like the pucker or whatever that stuff is. I went from never having alcohol before. Like, the first time I tried alcohol was at a friend's house, and I tried Grey Goose for the first, that was the first alcohol I ever had. So I went straight for vodka when I started drinking, which is like really messed up. But yeah, I was the girl that, like, I would take a shot right before I went to bed. Like, I wasn't doing this every single day of the week. Like, I wasn't an alcoholic, but when I was partying, I was getting blackout. I didn't know how to, like, know when I was getting a little too drunk. I just kept drinking. And I will say that, like, if there wasn't a party or like a sporting event or something we were going to, I wasn't just like sitting there drinking by myself. But when we were drinking, I was drinking. I was never the DD. I was always the drunk one. And it just makes me sad to look back and think about myself that young doing that. And I see pictures that I still have from high school or even like college, and I'm so drunk in them. And I know how drunk I was, and I remember how drunk I was in those photos. And it's just, it makes me so sad to like look back at that girl that is myself. But like, it's just sad to think back to that. And I was just, oh, like, it was just bad. So then fast forward to college. So high school was pretty gnarly. All 4 years I was drinking very heavily on the weekends. I actually didn't turn 21 until I was a senior in college. So I was one of the very young ones. I think I was the youngest one in my high school class, actually. So I didn't turn 21 until senior year, when a lot of my friends started turning one their sophomore and junior year. So I was always like the one drinking a lot at the house parties. My freshman year, I will say I actually kind of took a step back from drinking, not because I necessarily wanted to, but I had a very psychotic boyfriend that he like wouldn't let me leave my apartment, essentially. And if I like left and hung out with people, he like made me send him pictures of who I was with. He's fucking crazy, excuse my language, but that man was psycho. So I didn't really go out a lot because he like had so many restraints over me, and I allowed him to have those restraints. So I kind of stayed to myself my freshman year. But then my sophomore year of college, I lived with 5 other girls. So there were 6 of us in this house, and we threw parties nonstop. Our house was on the same road as all of the, at my college, all of the sororities and all of the frats were on one road, like one cul-de-sac street, and our house was in the middle of it. So we threw parties nonstop. Like, I'm talking, had Facebook group invites. Like, the house was trashed. It was absolutely disgusting. Like, I didn't even want to walk in the living room or the kitchen because it was so gross from how often we had these huge parties. So sophomore year, I kind of reverted back to like my high school ways of just drinking to blackout. Like, I was wondering, okay, what are we doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I can be hungover and like just be trash and lay on the couch and do nothing and recover. Like, but I was looking for what we were going to do Thursday through Saturday, my sophomore year. So kind of like not good drinking habits, but I'm sure like a lot of you can possibly to relate to being the party girl in college, right? I was young, I was dumb, I was stupid. And I really thought that drinking made me cool. Like I thought that everyone gave me attention for, and if you know me, I do love being the center of attention. I will admit to that. But everyone gave me attention when I drank. When I would get really drunk, like I was the funny one doing the crazy, stupid stuff. And so everyone had stories that they would laugh about me, and I would laugh with them because I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, like so crazy. And like I was the one that everyone was always like talking about because I was getting so drunk. And so I, even though looking back, I'm like, that's not good attention. At the time, it was attention. And our household, I was the oldest, like my older half sister didn't live with us. It was me, my younger brother, and my younger sister. And my parents worked a lot, like a lot, a lot. So we had babysitters most of the time. And because I was the oldest, like I was kind of left to do to my own devices while the younger two had to be like taken care of. So I seeked a lot of attention, which I'm not like calling shade to any of like my babysitters or my parents. Like they were working to put food on our table, on the table, and like provide us the life that we lived. And of course the younger siblings are younger. They're like, they need more help, right? I was the oldest one. So I can like, at this point I could drive, I can do what I need. Like I'm kind of on my own. So I like seeked a lot of attention from other people. And this is how I found the way to do that, is by being the party girl that would do the crazy, stupid stuff. And like, everyone thought it was funny. So I would drink more because that's what got people's attention. So after sophomore year, then that's when in junior year, I really kind of started to take a step back. I really started evaluating like, okay, why, how come every time I drink, I like have to get blackout? How come every time I drink, I have to like not remember part of the night? And then I got into like some trouble. We don't need to go into all of that story, but we'll save that for another time. But I did get into some trouble, and I actually got into some big trouble twice, and both times involved drinking. So I was like, okay, my mom said something to me that really stuck in my head. And she was like, Leslie, you're getting to the age where this is no longer a slap on the wrist from like authority figures or the police. You're getting to the age where this is just a problem. And you're an adult that's causing problems. You're not just some teenager that hasn't like matured yet. You're getting too old to be doing these things. And I was like, ooh, you're right. And I don't know why, but when she said that to me, like that really scared me. And I was like, you're right. I wasn't yet 21, but I was 20 my junior year. And I realized like, oh crap, like I'm not a teenager anymore. So if I were to get in trouble again, I'd probably actually like be in big trouble and not just pay a fine and be able to move on with it, right? So junior year, she said that really like resonated with me. And I kind of started focusing more on my fitness. And this is when I really, really started paying attention to my physique and my fitness goals. And I took like tracking macros very seriously. And I kind of went from like party girl to the other extreme, was an extreme fitness girl. I never competed in bodybuilding, but I did do a few local competitions in Olympic weightlifting. And I swung the opposite direction from drinking every single weekend, multiple days, to then I started religiously tracking my macros. I was working out like twice a day. I was trying to seriously compete in Olympic weightlifting. I was also trying to like just have a really great physique. I wanted to have abs, and I took that really seriously. So I did stop drinking as much my junior year, because I kind of replaced the attention of drinking gave me to the attention of I looked really good in a bikini because I had abs and I worked out so hard. So I kind of switched the device that was giving me the attention. And I went full force in that. I realized like, you can't be drinking every single weekend and have abs. So I need to like kind of give up drinking a lot. And this is also my junior year is when my now husband and I really started. Now I'm second guessing. When did we start dating? was it junior year? Was it sophomore year? Junior year is when we started like officially dating. So yes, that junior year is when I started officially dating my now husband. And so there was times where like if him and his friends weren't going out, then I would be like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to stay in too, because like you're the person I actually want to hang out with. And if you're not going out, then I don't need to go out, because we all know like going out was also to like find guys, right? And at this time I had a serious boyfriend that I really liked, and I was like, okay, well, I don't need to find guys and be the center of attention to other men, so I'm just gonna stay at home. So then I stopped drinking as much my junior year. And to be honest with you, this is where I did lose a lot of friends. We had a really, really big friend group in college, and I didn't realize until after I kind of stopped drinking as much that they were just party friends. They were just drinking friends. And there was like a smaller circle in the larger circle that I didn't lose. They're still my girls. We still catch up like a couple times a year. I love those girls to death. But in the larger group, it was like, oh, I stopped getting invited to things because I'm not drinking. And so then I felt like, oh, people don't like me as much because I'm not drinking. I'm not the center of attention anymore because I'm not drinking. So then I went through this weird thing where I felt like I lost a lot of friends, even though they weren't necessarily like the best friends anyways. They were just situational friends. But I had this, I like thought they were more important to me than they were because they were giving me attention I so badly wanted. So I went through like all of that my junior year. But the thing is that even though I stopped drinking as frequently, when I did drink, I still would drink to blackout. So I didn't see the point in having like one or two alcoholic beverages. I was like, what's the point of that? Like, that's a waste of calories. I'm either not going to drink at all and not drink the calories, or I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to say screw it and I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to get the pizza, I'm going to get the takeout food, like I'm going to like binge, and then tomorrow morning I'm also going to get, I don't know why, but I would always get a slushie when I was hungover. Like I'd go down to the gas station and get a gas station slushie and Qdoba, and it was like my ritual. And it was like, when I'm drinking, I'm having two full cheat days, the drinking day, all the food I'm going to eat when I'm drunk because it doesn't count because I'm drunk, and then I get my slushy and my Qdoba the next day and I rot on the couch. And it was like, I was either 0 or 100. I was either all in or all out. And that was not healthy either. Even though I was doing that less frequently, it was like, I couldn't figure out how to just enjoy a drink or two. But I also think that, you know, like my tolerance to alcohol was so high that one or two drinks didn't really get me buzzed. But at the same time, like those, you know, that first drink you have, it kind of, it gives you that rush of dopamine. So that first drink gets you all giggly, and then you're chasing that the rest of the night. Like, cause after that dopamine rush kind of wears off, you're chasing that dopamine high the rest of the day, the rest of the night, the rest of whatever time it is that you're drinking. And I was always getting caught in that loop. I would get that dopamine high, and then I had to keep chasing it to try to get it again. But the thing is you're never going to get that huge dopamine rush the rest of the night after you've already had that huge hit from the first drink that you had. So this was a really like big transition I had to make, because I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like my body is not responding. I'm not filtering this alcohol as good as I once was. It was just becoming really difficult to maintain my physique while doing this. And it was just a big transitional time that I needed to go through, where I was like, okay, Leslie, like this is too much. So then fast forward to my senior year, I turned 21. And by the age of 21, I was kind of like over the party scene, right? I was like, I just feel like alcohol is just like party. I liked drinking a beer or two at this point, not a beer or two, but like I would have like several beers. I started really enjoying beer over like hard liquor when I turned 21. And this is where also I graduated, and my last semester of school, actually, when I had turned 21, I didn't have any classes. I was in an internship, which was then my full-time job for a couple years after. And all of my coworkers, like I had just turned 21, and I think the next youngest coworker was like 25 or 26. So everybody was much older than me.
And so I started hanging out with them instead of my college friends. And honestly, that group of my group of like work friends when I turned 21 and like end of senior year slash graduating when everybody else had moved out of Kalamazoo and I was still there working full time. This is where that transition really started to happen, where I went from needing to like get blackout if I was drinking to being able to have a couple of beers and be fine. And I think it's because that's what this older group of friends did for me. Instead of still hanging out with people that were freshly 21, I was hanging out with people that were like 25 to 30, and I was only 21. And they were also, I was working at a gym, right? And so they also had like physique goals and health goals. They were athletes, they played hockey, they were triathletes. So they weren't binge drinking because they had bigger goals for their health, right? So this group of people that I worked with really helped me to be able to go out and just have like one or two beers. And then that's good. Okay, now we're going to go home and go to bed. Like, or we're going to get together. We're going to play cards. We're going to have like two or three beers because we're all just hanging out at the apartment. But then we're going to walk home to our apartment and like, we're going to be fine. We're not going to get blackout. So honestly, hanging out with older people is, I wish I could tell you like some sort of like revelation I had or that it was all in my power that it helped me to get that to that point. But it really was hanging out with older people that actually didn't just like binge drink all the time. They had bigger goals for themselves. And honestly, like this, it's one of those things where I started surrounding myself with better people instead of surrounding myself with just college kids that just had college mindset or, you know, they weren't really, they didn't have a lot of goals beyond college yet. And that's who I was hanging out with when I was binge drinking. But then when I started hanging out with people that were in the workforce, they had bigger goals for their professional life and their personal life. They wanted to be healthier. They wanted to strive for bigger things in their life. I just changed, you know, that saying, the five people you spend the most time with. I changed the five people I spent the most time with, and I stopped binge drinking like I did when I hung out with people that binge drank multiple days. Like I had in the group that I hung out with, like they were drinking Tuesday through Sunday. Like Monday was like the only night that didn't have a special at one of the college bars. So that's kind of how I transitioned through my high school and college years. Fast forward from college, and when I first graduated, when I was 21, I hung out, you know, kind of in that same zone for a couple of years. And then I was 23 when Drew and I moved to Texas. And the first couple of years living here, I really didn't have that many friends. So I didn't drink really unless Drew and I were having a date night. Like, other than that, I wasn't drinking because I didn't really have a lot of friends to drink with anyways. So that kind of helped me to really become, I'm not sober, but to become more sober than I really ever had been was moving away and not having any people. Once again, I wish that I could tell you that it was some revelation I had, but it really was just changing my surroundings again. Fast forward to within the last like year or two of my life. So I'm 27 now. So this would be at like 26, 27. What's funny is in my notes of my timeline, I wrote I'm 26 now because for some reason I can't remember that I'm 27 and I always want to say I'm 26. That age is just like ingrained in me and like I'm repelling the age of 27 for some reason. But now I have friends. I have the best friend group ever. Like I love my friends so, so much, so dearly. And we're all around the same age, 27 to like 31. And we all are working. We all have full-time jobs. We all have goals, both like professionally and personally. And we do a lot of stuff. So to be honest, I went from not having a lot of friends. So it was really easy to not drink at all. Like I could go 6 months without having a sip of alcohol because Drew was working a lot and we just like would do date nights that don't involve alcohol. And I didn't really have a lot of friends to hang out with, or the friends I did hang out with, it wasn't like drinking. We'd get like coffee. Now the friend group I have now, we do a lot of stuff. Like we joke because we all live in the same apartment complex. So we are over at each other's house like multiple times, at least one night on between Monday and Thursday, maybe two. And then we're together like Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. Like we're together all of the time and we go do a lot of stuff. Some people in the group like to drink. Some people don't drink as much. I'm probably the one that doesn't drink as much, but nobody in this group is like just getting blackout all of the time. This is a very like mature drinking group where when we are together, if people want to drink, they're going to have like one or two beverages and then we're going to go to bed. There's the exception of like some of the guys will, you know, if there's like a huge party or like a boat day or pool day, they're getting drunk. But as far as like the girls, like we're pretty much like we can just have a drink or two and be good. And we're like, I'm solid. That's all I need. So that's kind of where I'm at now in my life is I can very easily have one to two drinks and be good. Three, maybe four. If I'm feeling wild, I'll have four beverages on like a pool day or a lake day or something. And that is like, that is the most that I can have. If I'm drinking more than that, I'm not okay. I'm not going to be well. So I really am like a one to two drink girly at this point in my life. But I, over the last couple of years, have really been working on my, you guys know, my gut health and my hormone health. Like when I got off birth control, it went crazy. And we know that alcohol does, it is a poison. There's no good benefits of alcohol, like chemically in our bodies. Like there's no component of alcohol that is good for us. So I have been much more selective of when I have alcohol. I'm not the one that's going to be like, just because we're out to dinner, I'm going to have two drinks. That's not me. I'm not going to do that because I know I have a sensitive gut. My hormones, I feel like, are in a really good place right now, but I've worked on my gut health and it's still not perfect. It's much better than it was like last year or the year before, but there's still some things that I'm trying to help build up my gut from probably damaging it from years of binge drinking. Like no wonder I have gut issues. It wasn't just after getting off birth control. Like it was probably stuff festering for so many years because I was such a binge drinker when I was in high school and college, right? At a young age, I was wrecking my gut lining. So I'm much more selective. If we do some, I'm really only going to drink if it's an event, to be honest with you, at where I'm at now. And this is because my motivations towards drinking are very different. I don't drink to get blackout anymore. I don't drink to get drunk anymore. And even times when we have like a Christmas party like we had last weekend, when I'm like, I'm going to get drunk. Like, I can't wait to do this. I haven't gotten drunk in a long time. I end up having three drinks and I'm like, I'm good. I don't need any more. I'm good. Give me the water and like some food. Like that is me going wild now. I'm just much more selective with when I have alcohol. And I think part of this is being in the space that I'm in. I know all the ins and outs of alcohol. I know how it impacts every single one of your hormones. I know how it impacts your gut lining. I know how it impacts candida and mold. And if you have any of those in your gut, how it's going to exacerbate those symptoms. I know all of the science and education behind drinking alcohol, that it has, I have a hard time just drinking to drink because I know all the education behind it, which some people might think, well, that sucks. That's like a lame way to live, to be so scared of something. But it's just the truth. This is my field. And I'm sure everybody works in a field where there's certain things that they don't do anymore because they see the repercussions. Like I'm sure any surgeon, any doctor, any nurse, like lawyers, I'm sure everybody in their profession that works with people, I'm sure they don't do specific things because they see what it does detrimentally to a person, whether that is a substance, a food, a behavior, like certain types of financial things. Like that's just what it is. It's what my life is, right? So that it makes it really difficult for me at this point in time to just drink just to drink, right? I actually went, I think it was from January until June or July, and I didn't have a single sip of alcohol at all this past year. And since then, I've drank maybe a handful of weekends. Like I'm not drinking every single weekend or having like I said, just because we're going out to dinner on a date night doesn't mean that I need to have a drink or two. And not that Drew was ever a drinker, but I think also this has like shifted him, because he was somebody that if we went out to dinner, he's going to have like one or two old fashions. But ever since I've really cut back on alcohol, he has also cut back on alcohol. And let me tell you, your bills, your date night bills will be much cheaper. Not that we were like trying to make them cheaper, but they will, your meals are much cheaper when you don't drink alcohol at them. Let me tell you. And I actually think that we've, since like not drinking as much, I would say we much rather prefer to go on a breakfast date than a dinner date. And we'd rather get like coffee and a nice breakfast than go to drinks and dinner. And I love a good brunch. I love a good breakfast date instead of a dinner date. Dinner date, I want to like get, you know, do my skincare and like curl up in bed. I'd rather get ready in the morning than get ready at night to just come back home to take my makeup off. You know what I mean? I hate when I like don't wear makeup all day and then I have to get ready for a date night. We go out for like an hour or two and then I have to come back and wash my face off. I'd rather get ready in the morning so that the makeup I put on or the outfit I put on, I have all day to wear it instead of coming, like putting it on for like 2 hours to come home and wash it off. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's a waste of makeup. I'm not a huge makeup girly. Maybe you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but that is just like, that's me. That's my perspective. Anyways, something that I usually ask myself is, do I want to eat? I mean, I'm going to be honest. I still think about the calories in a beverage and I'm like, okay, not necessarily the calories, but the sugar. I'm like, okay, do I really want to have this much sugar right now in a drink? Not really. So I usually end up not drinking. Or I'll say to myself, like, if we're just hanging out at the pool and my friends are drinking, I will ask myself, like, if I have one or two drinks, is that going to make this situation more fun or more exciting? Usually the answer is no. So that I'm like, I don't find it worth drinking and having the alcohol. And like I said, this comes back to knowing what alcohol does to the body and just not wanting to put myself in that position if I don't really want to drink. So I really only have a drink if I'm like really in the mood to enjoy it. And I usually have that. We talked about that first drink giving you that dopamine hit. I'll usually get that first drink, get that buzz, order a second drink, and then I'm done. Because I know if I keep drinking to get that buzz or to keep that buzz, that's not how it works. It's going to go away and I'm just going to get drunk and sloppy. So I usually get one or two drinks, enjoy that buzz, that little high feeling. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. That was a fun little rush. And now like, let's go home and cuddle on the couch and eat some popcorn with chocolate chips on it, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at now. That's my journey. So this journey has been, if you think about it, I started drinking at 14, 15. I'm 27 now. So this is what, a 12, 13 year journey with alcohol. And it started out very strong with a lot of alcohol. And maybe for you, you didn't start drinking until it was legally allowed, which most I should have done. So you're 27 right now, and you're where I was when I was 21, because you started drinking when you were 21. This has been over a decade journey for me from start to where I'm at now with alcohol and getting to this point where I don't care if I don't drink, or I don't have to drink to give myself a social lubricant, right? So I wanted, like I mentioned earlier, I wanted to put this episode to be able to chit chat with you if you're going home for the holidays and you're not wanting to drink and you just don't know how to handle the situation or the peer pressure. Something for me that was a really big struggle was like, other people are going to be drinking and I don't want to miss out on the fun, but I also don't want to like wreck my gut or wreck my hormones or ruin my diet. And so it was always like, do I miss out on the fun or do I have the calories and like potentially make myself feel sick because I know my body doesn't like alcohol, you know? And I had to kind of work through that and realize that I can have just as much fun without alcohol as much as I'm having if I have a drink or two, right? But then I also had to realize that one or two drinks on occasion is not going to permanently mess up my gut or permanently mess up my hormones. Now, if you're someone that is drinking every single week, you're going to be more susceptible to those GI issues and hormone imbalances. That's just the truth of it. You really will if you're drinking every single week. But if you're not having a drink every single week. And then it's just the holidays, so you want to have a drink or two and enjoy some fun cocktails with your family. It's not going to mess you up that much to just have a few drinks. Now, if you completely just binge the entire weekend, yeah, you're probably going to have some repercussions from that. But if you don't really drink often and you really want to, but you're scared to because you're like on a gut protocol or you're on like a healing journey or you're trying to lose weight, one or two drinks on Christmas or even Christmas and Christmas Eve is not going to deter your healing journey that much. Obviously, if you're on like a gut healing protocol or like a candida protocol and you're working with somebody, you need to talk to them about like the severity of the protocol that you're on. If you're like detoxing from mold, you probably should avoid the alcohol and just know that once you like, this is just the only Christmas that you're going to have to do that. But there are sometimes that like there have been years where I've been detoxing from something like parasites over the holidays. And it was better for me to not drink alcohol that Christmas. But I knew, hey, I've got 50 Christmases to live the rest of my life. Like it's okay if I don't drink this one Christmas. It's not the end of the world. It's kind of like you have to really think about that all or nothing mentality and kind of give that up and be like, okay, it's okay to have balance, because the all or nothing, the extremism mindset is what really messes you up. Now, if you're somebody that you just want to stop drinking because you just want to stop drinking, like you've matured through that, you don't feel good when you drink, but you're still kind of worried about like being around certain people or people that are going to judge you or ask you questions, this is what I have to say to that. Is the people that aren't, or people are not going to judge you as much as you think that they would, okay? If they are truly good people and people that care for you and love you, if you say, oh, I just don't want to drink, I'm not going to drink, or they offer you a drink and you say, I'm good, they're probably not going to think anything of it. They're just going to be like, oh, okay, Leslie's not drinking. Okay, whatever. And maybe they'll be like, are you sure? How come you're not drinking? And in that position, I need to tell you that you need to not take offense to that. Because somebody just saying, oh, are you sure? How come you're not drinking? That could just mean that they love you. They're not judging you. They just want to understand you so that they can support you better. So I need you to, first of all, not take everything, any questions of people asking you why you're not drinking, as judgment and defense right off the bat. While it is nobody's business, some people just want to understand so that they can support you. Okay. And that's fine. That's fine. So don't get defensive the first time someone asks you that. Okay. Now, if someone does ask you that, you have one or two of two options. One, you can be honest with them and just say, to be honest, I'm trying to cut back on alcohol. It doesn't make me feel really good. So, and I don't really need it to have fun. So I'm just not going to drink. And I appreciate you like supporting me and being okay with that, and say that before they even have a chance to answer. So then they're like, oh, I have to support her. I have to like, you know, I have to be okay with it because she said thank you for supporting me or something. You know what I mean? Sorry, my throat is like really dry and I need some water. Or two, there's nothing wrong with a little white lie. If you're not confident in it yet and you just don't want to have to explain yourself to people, then come up with something. Just say, my stomach is hurting a little bit, to be honest. Or, to be honest, I got really drunk a couple weeks ago and I'm just not recovered from that. Like, I don't want to feel that way again. Even just having one drink is just like making my stomach not feel good or making me feel nauseous. You know, you can just say, you could come up with anything. There's nothing wrong with a little white lie to just get out of the situation. Okay. Now, if somebody keeps pestering you, of, well, I just don't understand why you can't just have a drink, or why can't you just have one drink? If someone is truly being an a-hole about you not drinking, then that is more so on, you need to evaluate, why is this person so I'm assuming this person's like in your close network. Why are you friends with this person? If this person is crossing your boundaries, like in disrespecting your boundaries so hard like that, why are you allowing them to be so close to your life? You know? And I mean, sometimes that there might be people that are, it's family members that you're with. for Christmas. So maybe they're people that aren't super close to you. And if it's not somebody that's super close to you, they're just kind of there because they're family and it's like your weird uncle, then who cares if he's pestering you? Tell him off. Be like, you know what, Uncle Dave? I just don't want to drink. Leave me alone. Stop asking me about it. Okay, just be honest. Be like, can you stop asking me about it? It's kind of bothering me that you keep asking me. I told you I don't want to drink. Can you let it be that? And if they act all weird and defensive, that's more of a reflection on them because you not drinking might make them feel uncomfortable with themselves and they might view you as better than them. They're not going to tell you that. So they're trying to drag you down with them. And they want, like, people like when you engage in poor activities with them so they don't feel as bad about them themselves. So I think everybody knows alcohol is not good for you. So if somebody is trying to guilt you into having alcohol with them, it's probably because they know that they're having a little cheat with alcohol and they want you to have a little cheat with them. Okay. But back to what I was saying on the flip side, if this is somebody that's in your close friend group or your close family members that you like, not family members that you like have issues with, and they're pestering you, that needs to be, you need to look at your relationship with them and be like, why are they disrespecting your boundary so much? And is that somebody that you really should be having that close to you if they're going to pester you and try to step over your boundaries like that? And maybe you need to set more boundaries with this person, or you haven't set any boundaries with them. So they don't even know they're crossing a boundary because you've never set a boundary with them. And it's actually more so on you to set that boundary so that they can't walk all over you. You see what I'm saying? So I know I just went over a few different scenarios, but overall, if you don't want to drink, I don't think that people around you that care about you are going to judge you as much as you think you would. And if they are, either you need to set better boundaries with that person if you want to maintain a friendship with them and it's bothering you that you're doing that, or if there's somebody you don't really care about, you don't really get along with them, like, tell them off. Be like, screw you, man. Stop asking me. I don't really care what you think. This is what I'm doing, so leave me alone. Let me have a Merry Christmas, okay? Okay. All right. So that's what I got for you. That is what I have for you today. I hope that some of you can relate to my journey. I hope I don't sound like a crazy person, but I feel like I'm kind of proud of myself and how far I've come through my years with alcohol and my relationship with alcohol. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at with my relationship with alcohol and my confidence in myself to be able to say, I don't want to drink right now and be okay with that and be able to still have just as much fun without alcohol as other people are having with alcohol. And honestly, sometimes people aren't having as much fun with alcohol. They're strictly doing it because they need a social lubricant because they're not fun in general, you know? But I encourage you to embrace your sober fun side. But also, if you are somebody that does want to have a few drinks, but you're just nervous to, I think a couple drinks are going to be okay. You're going to be fine. But just, I mean, if you're someone that's drinking all the time, probably not. But if you're just going to have a drink or two, or you're someone that doesn't really drink, but you really just want to have a mimosa on Christmas morning, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay to have a mimosa or two. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Your body's strong. Your body is resilient. Okay. Well, I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. I will see you next week with some updates about the new format of the podcast. We're going to do something more like seasons and do specific topics for different seasons instead of just like general episodes every single week, which I'm excited to bring in 2024 for the new year. So I hope you have a Merry Christmas and I'll see you next time.